I want to have you turn to Matthew chapter 26, if you would. Matthew chapter 26. While you're turning there, I'll ask you the question. How many times have you made the statement or heard somebody else make the statement, "Well, you'll never see me do that"? How many of you have made that statement? Yeah, that's a foolish statement to make. I mean, I think back right away, you know, when I first went into the ministry and everything, I served at the camp for a number of years, and then I went to a meeting up in northern Michigan, in Gaylord, Michigan. I mean, up there they have 220 inches of snow a year, you know, and it's like my wife called it the North Pole, okay? And during the wintertime, you'll see more snowmobiles at the gas pumps than you do cars. That's just the way it is there. But anyway, I went to preach a meeting there for the preacher up there, and it was in May, and it snowed, a snowstorm. I mean, we had 6 inches of snow. And man, I came back home to my wife in West Virginia, and I said, "I know one thing for sure, I ain't never moving up there." About 3 years later, God moved us to Gaylord, Michigan. Be careful about saying never. This is kind of part of the message too. Never say never. Because you have no clue. You have no idea. Now, I take that back. There are a few things that I'm sure you could say never about. For instance, if somebody ever tells you that Brother Martin jumped out of an airplane, that's a lie. Because there ain't no way, I don't care parachutes, I don't care whatever, I am never jumping out of an airplane. Somebody push me if I'm out of an airplane. That's just the way it's going to be. But most of the time, we need to be very, very careful about the things that we say never. You'll never catch me doing that. I'd never try that. We look at the foolish things that people say and do, and we say, "Now you won't see me doing that." Our story today is of someone who was really close to the Lord and maybe really thought that he was a little bit invincible because he was so close to the Lord. But in the end, he began to realize that he was just flesh like everyone else. No matter even being around him, all that he was around him. We're going to talk about Peter. If you would, look with me in chapter 26 and verse number 31. And this is right after that the Lord's Supper, that Passover meal that they had there. In verse 31 says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night." I got to stop and think for a moment. This is the Son of God telling his closest people, his closest, his disciples, his apostles, "Every one of you are going to be offended in me tonight." This is the God-man. And it says, "For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Now, that would never be me, Lord. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night," he doubles down on it, "before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Now we're going to find out, we're going to go through this, we're going to go kind of expository through this passage of Scripture, and we're going to find out that in about 50 verses, the thing that he said never would happen ended up happening. I'm sure that we look at our lives and we think about, there's people get out of church and get away from God, and we sit there and we look at that and we say, "Man, that will never be me. That will never be my family." You better be careful. It tells us over in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man, our heart is so wicked. The heart of who, the old man, that sinful nature in us. We got to be so cautious and so careful. Over in the book of, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for just a second. And we love this verse of Scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I can get my place here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and you know, thank God for verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Man, we love that verse of scripture. We bank on that. But you know what? In context, there's a verse right before it that we don't even think about. What does it say in the very next, the verse right previous to it? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What are you saying? I'm just saying tonight, you better be careful about saying never. Title of the message is simply this. Well, it's two titles. Never say never, or how never ends up becoming a reality. How never can end up becoming a reality. Father, I pray you bless the next few moments we have to spend together. I pray that you would use me, Father, just this vessel to be a help to these people tonight. Lord, I pray I'd just be the conduit, that your spirit and your word would flow and that you'd work and that you'd do what you want to do to help some people tonight, Lord. Maybe there's nobody here that really even maybe doesn't need this message right now. But Father, I know that there's going to be a time in all of our lives that we're going to have to reconsider these thoughts. Father, I pray that you'd teach us from it and help us to be careful to take heed to it. We'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise, for it's in Christ's name I pray, amen. When I first moved up to Gaylord, Michigan, there was a young man who was over the junior boys department, and my son, my youngest son, was a junior boy at that time, and good young man. His wife was over the junior girls, and man, they again, superintendents and taught him and all that. Well, one day, that young man, his name was Sean, he got really, really upset because preacher preached something from the Word of God that was true, but it was against the way he was living, and it convicted him, and he got mad. Called the preacher out and said that the preacher was trying to point him out to the whole congregation and everything. Preacher had no idea what he was doing or how he was living his life or whatever. He got so mad that he up and took his family and quit church, walked out of church, left the Sunday school. I mean, he'd been a superintendent for 4 or 5 years, walked out, left. Me and another man from the church went over to try to visit him and try to encourage him to get back in church. And by the way, that's what all of us are supposed to do. Amen. That isn't just Brother Ross's job or AJ's job. That's all of our job, to encourage people, get them back in church. Amen. So we went over to visit him, and man, he was hot as a hornet, man. We went in, and he let us come in and talk with him. And I can't believe preacher did that. I can't believe he knows that I'm struggling with. I said, preacher has no idea what you're struggling with. The Holy Spirit knows what you're struggling with. Amen. And he's just trying to point something out in your life. Just get right about it. Oh, I can't believe it. I'm never going to come back there again. And I said, let me tell you something. If you got such a crawl about this thing, then turn around, get in one of the other churches here and get your family there, because if not, it's going to cause you a lot of heartache. He said, what are you talking about? I could never do that. I said, what? He said, there's no other church in this area. I said, then sounds to me like you need to swallow your pride and get right with God and get back in church. And I can't do that. We tried a couple, multiple times to try to go visit. Finally, one last time went to visit him, took one of the deacons with me, and we got to the door. He opened the door. It's probably 4 months later, 5 months later. He's all disheveled. He looks terrible, man. And he was a sharp looking young man. And he said, yeah, guys, come on in. He took us in and he said, let's go sit in the kitchen. Took us in. We sat down in the kitchen, and there in the middle of the table in the kitchen was a fifth of Jack Daniel's liquor. And he had about half of it already drunk. And he just went on his sob story about how, woe is me, about because I've been treated so bad and I never got back in church. You know what happened? Him and his wife got divorced. Yes, sir. You know what happened? They never got back in church. Both of his kids have been divorced now. They're not in church. What are you saying? I'll promise you, if Sean was standing right here today, he would look at you and say, I would have never dreamed that would have ever happened. How in the world can never end up becoming a reality? Well, let's take a look here. First thing is this, and I'm not going to read down through a whole bunch of scripture here on this one. I just think it is very obvious that this has taken place and happened. And I believe it's the first step that causes us to head down a road that we don't want to head down. You say, what's that, Brother Martin? I believe that Peter began to take the Lord for granted. I'm going to tell you, any time we begin to take the Lord for granted, we're in trouble in our life. He began to take for granted the Son of God. He began to take for granted the privilege that he had to be able to be as close as he was. Not everybody was had the privilege to be as close to Jesus as what Peter was. But he began to take that for granted. Take it for granted to the point that he would talk back to him the way he talked back to him. What are you saying tonight, Brother Martin? I'm just saying we better everyone be very careful and stay on top of that we never get to the place in our life where we begin to take the Lord for granted. How do I take the Lord for granted? Hey, just take the Lord for granted in not spending time with him. We all have the privilege to be able to spend time with him. We all have the privilege to be able to read his word. Amen. Are you reading his word every day? If you're not reading his word every day, you're taking for granted the fact that he gave you this precious book so that you could grow in him. Amen. He wants you to grow in him. He wants you to know him in a greater way. He wants you to get close to him. But oh, so many times we take that for granted. I promise you, your preacher can tell you, preachers all over can tell you, whenever somebody gets into deep problems and they come for counseling, I'm counseling with a couple couples right now. And what it always goes back to is they're out of the book. They're not in the Word of God. They're not spending time in the Word. Hey, they're not praying the way that they're supposed to be praying. Don't take those privileges for granted. Amen. The privilege to pray, to call out to the God of gods, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Man, don't take that for granted. Man, spend time with God every day. Amen. Don't take for granted the fact that he's there with you. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm saying we just got to be so very careful. Don't take for granted his authority in your life. If he says it's right, it's right. If he says it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. Don't try to twist it and pervert it. Amen. Oh, we have a lot of independent Baptists. They got the right book, but they're twisting and perverting it. And they're coming up with these, well, this is our standards. I'm going to tell you what, he's got a pretty clear standard in that book right there. If we just stay close to him, amen. What are you saying? Don't take for granted his will for your life. Don't take for granted those things that are so precious and so special. I'm going to jump right into the next one, though. The second thing is this. Read there again with me in verse number 33. It said, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And again, in verse 35, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all his disciples. Second thing that happened, and this is just a natural step if we begin to take the Lord for granted, Peter got lifted up in pride. He thought that he was invincible. He thought that it could never possibly happen to him. Again, we've already read a few of the scriptures, but look over at Romans chapter 12, if you would. Romans chapter 12. And I think this is part of the problem too sometimes in our lives. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, we know these verses. Thank God for these verses. We can probably quote them without even looking at the book. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We read those two, we quote those two, but we never go on to the next verse. What does the next verse say? For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What was he saying? Hey, don't get high and mighty and lifted up just because you're doing what God said you're supposed to do. Just because God called you and said that you're supposed to give your life a living sacrifice. Yeah, you're no better than anybody else. Amen. Man, our life is supposed to be about serving him and lifting him up before people, not ourselves. Well, so many people get caught up in who they think they are or what they think they do. Look over into Galatians chapter 6. Look over there. Galatians chapter 6. Verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, there's the key, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Notice, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He goes on to say, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Pride, pride. Pride is the downfall of every man and every woman. Amen. We get lifted up and think we're something that we're not. We ain't no, not a one of us are any better than anybody else. Amen. We're just sinners saved by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. What does it say over in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 through 19? These things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What's the very first one? A proud look. Oh, we can talk about homosexuality being abomination. And boy, we'll harp on all these other things being abomination. But what about our stinking pride? Amen. What are you saying? Man, Peter got lifted up in pride. How dare he talk back to the Son of God the way he talked back to the Son of God? How dare we get upset with God over things that don't go the way that we think they should? Get lifted up in pride again. I tell you what, you're beginning to go down a pathway you don't want to go down. You're going down a pathway that you don't see the end of it, but it's not a good end. We begin to take him for granted. Like Peter, we begin to get lifted up in pride. Third thing, verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, let me just have you look back there for just a second at what he asked them to do in verse 38. What did he ask them to do? Tarry ye here and watch with me. How difficult is that? He just said, I want you to just stay here and I want you to watch with me. Now, he had a greater purpose than what they could comprehend and greater than what we even comprehend at times. What do you mean? He wanted them to see him go through what he was going to go through. He wanted to show them how they can make it through the difficult times in their life. But it says this in verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, notice, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? I just believe the word of God. What do you mean? I just believe it was 1 hour. I just believe that was just 1 hour that he was, and he was within eyeshot because he wanted them to see this and wanted them to watch and tarry there with him. And he comes back 1 hour later, they're asleep. That's like a whole lot of Christians today. What do you mean? Sleep on God. I mean, what are you talking about, Mother Martin? I'm talking about he got apathetic and he got lazy. Yes. Amen. There's a lot of lazy Christians. I talked about that yesterday. I don't know if you was there, AJ, or not, man. I was trying to get them boys to wake up about being lazy in their life. It ain't going to head you down a pathway that's good. Amen. What do you mean? Hey, as a child of God today, we should never get lazy on God. We should never grow apathetic toward the Lord. Amen. Man, we ought to have our heart tender and our heart open unto him. And if he asked one thing as simple as that, why should they not or why could they not do that? Just 1 hour to watch with him. I think about how the story of the wisest man that ever lived. Think about the story of Solomon. I mean, boy, he had wisdom. Boy, God gave him that. He gave him abundance of things, and that caused a whole lot of problems for his life because he looked to the abundance and rather than keeping his eyes on the Lord. But in Ecclesiastes, that book where he had gotten away from God and finally came back to God, that book was written at the end of that when he came back to the Lord. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, flip over there for a second. Just notice a few words here. And in this passage about what it says about him. How in the world could Solomon end up in apostasy? I'll promise you, if Solomon stood right here before us today, he would say, there's no way I would ever dream that I would have ended up where I ended up. Amen. But it says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. He said, I said of laughter, it is mad of mirth. What doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom. You know what he's saying? I want that wisdom. Yeah, amen. But I want to enjoy a few things. I want to dabble in some things. I want to get out what's in this world. I want to try to enjoy some of those things also. He goes on down and says in verse number 4 there, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees of all in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water. He goes through this great list of things. He uses 31 personal pronouns in the next few verses because it was all about him. It's all about what he wanted for himself. But you know the end result of it? Verse 17 says, therefore, I hated life. Amen. What are you saying? Man, when you get sideways with God, when you get lazy on God, when you say, I want to get involved in some of the other things of this world or whatever, you're heading down a path of apathy that's going to lead you down a road you never dreamed that you would end up in your life. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying, Peter, there was a pathway that happened that led him from the place where he said something would never happen to where it became a reality. And we better take heed to it. What do you mean? He began to take the Lord for granted. He got lifted up in pride. He became apathetic and lazy. And boy, we're living in an apathetic, lazy generation of Christians today. It blows my mind what we see. Like I said, I commend you all. What a great crowd on a Wednesday night service. This may be something you just need to tuck in your back pocket and remember it one day. Because the devil ain't going to quit. The devil's going to be after you. The next thing that happened there, look at verse number 47 of Matthew chapter 26 again. Verse number 47. It says, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Now, if we'd look over in the book of John, it'll tell you that that was Peter that did that. Okay. And then it goes on to say this. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. I really think that Peter thought he was doing something great here. He was going to stand up and protect Jesus. But wait a minute, it says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be? He'd been trying to tell them this was going to happen, but they just weren't listening. Amen? And it goes on to say, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures, the prophets, might be fulfilled. Notice, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Why? What was the trigger to cause them to forsake him and flee? I'm going to tell you, better get this. It was because the will of God did not go the way they wanted it to. I'll say that again. The will of God didn't go the way that they wanted it to. They wanted to keep Jesus there. They wanted to protect Jesus. That wasn't the will of God. How oft times in our life do we get sideways because God's will doesn't go the way we want it to? We get upset because God allows something to happen that we could never dream. We lose a spouse. You say, that's the will of God. God allows those things to happen for a purpose and for a reason. Amen. We go through these battles and struggles in our life, and the will of God leads us down a dark pathway. I just preached a message the other night on when the will of God leads you to a difficult place. And a lot of times the will of God will lead us to a difficult place. That was a difficult place. But that ain't no reason to turn around and walk away from God. Amen. How many Christians are not in church today because something didn't go the way they wanted it to go, so they just walked away? Amen. What are you saying? I'm just giving you a warning tonight. You better take heed to it. This is exactly what happened to Peter. And by the way, all the rest of the disciples too. What? The will of God didn't go the way they wanted it to, so they got upset with God. Hey, be careful about pouting when God's will doesn't go the way you want it to. The old saying, don't get bitter, get better. Amen. Trusting our will over God's will is a very dangerous thing to do. But I want it to be this way. How many times have we seen this happen? How many times have we seen somebody get in trouble just because of this? Next thing we see, these things are just they're stair steps to lead to that place. Well, you begin to take the Lord for granted. You get lifted up in pride. Then you get a little bit lazy and apathetic. I wonder how many used to be. I preach message on that too. Used to be Christians. What do you mean? Well, I used to serve here. I used to do this. I used to do that. I used to do. We get to the place where we get apathetic and we get lazy, and then that leads us down to the place where when God's will doesn't go just the way we want it to, we get mad at God for it. Well, why ain't we where we were supposed to be anyway? But then the next step that happens, it says in verse number 57, and they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Notice the first part of verse 58. But Peter followed him afar off. What do you mean? Peter got to a place in his life where, because the will of God didn't go the way he wanted it to go, then he began to follow afar off from the Lord. We can liken that, or we can draw an application to that of our walk with God today. Where is our walk with God today? Are we close to him? Are we, as I said at the very beginning, I mean, we were shouting amen then. Are we in the book every day the way that we're supposed to be? Hey, that's a telltale sign there. If you're not in the book every day, there's something not right. There's something wrong. Amen. You say, oh, you preachers, you can say that. You can, hey, listen, I can honestly say this. I sat where you sit many more years than when I'm doing what I'm doing now. I didn't go into ministry till I was 38 years of age. I was a career fireman. And you say, you live your life to do this now and all this. Hey, I did it back then too. What do you mean? I mean, I walked with God back then too. I wouldn't be doing the thing I'm doing today if I hadn't done it back then. Amen. What are you saying? Stay faithful, stay true, stay close to God. It ain't nothing about me and it ain't nothing about you, but it's everything about him. Amen. We've got to stay close to him. Don't follow afar off. You begin to follow afar off, you're in a dangerous place, a dangerous position. I challenge you. If you're walking right with God tonight, you ought to come to an altar and get it where it should be. Amen. The just man falls 7 times and rises back up again. Amen. Yeah, I tell people this all the time, AJ. It's not a shame to admit that you've fallen. It's a shame that you don't get back up and confess and get right with God. Amen. That's the shame of it. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm saying he began to follow afar off. The next thing it says here in verse number 58, the same verse in the last half of it, it says, and unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Who was he with? Who was he hanging out with? He was following afar off and he went in with the servants. What servants? The servants of the high priest. The ones that wanted Jesus dead. What are you saying? The next step when you begin to follow afar off is you begin to compromise. Amen. You begin to fellowship with those people you ought not be fellowshipping with. Amen. You end up in a very dangerous, again, a very dangerous place in your life when you're compromising with non-believers or when you're compromising, hate me all you want to, with the non-denominational crowd. Amen. I've been preaching for a long time, and I've been watching over the last 15 to 20 years the amount of people that end up out of good, independent, fundamental Baptist churches. Why? Because they begin to listen to the false teachings of non-denominational believers. Amen. Oh, your church is a little crazy. You know, they tell you that, you know, that you should never drink. There's nothing wrong with drinking. As long as you do it socially, as long as you don't get drunk. I'm just an old country boy, okay? Let me give you some of my hillbilly theology. How many of you believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to drink alcoholic beverages? Then what makes it right now? Come on now, that's just common sense. That's just compromise. Amen. If the Lord says you're not even supposed to look at it when it moves itself aright, then what in the world are we doing saying it's okay to have a social drink with somebody? Come on, we better wake up. I mean, you got people. Hey, okay, hillbilly theology 102, okay? How many of you believe that it really doesn't matter, like the non-denominational crowd tells us, it doesn't matter what you wear. You can wear whatever you want to. Man, we're in a day of grace. You really believe that? How many of you believe that when we get to heaven, we can do whatever we want to do? This book is forever settled in heaven. That means forever settled in it. You can say what you want to. We're going to be perfected. I get that. But I believe this book is forever settled in heaven. That means that's the way we're going to be dressing up there too. Hey, that's good, Brother Martin. I like that. What are you saying? I'm just saying you better be careful about compromising with lost people, listening to people at work, listening to the denominational crowd, listen to those that are trying to tell you your church is too crazy, they're too far out. Hey, just be crazy for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Keep on going, serving God. Be faithful to Him. Hey, there's nothing that's going to harm you getting closer to God. Amen. Amen. People are always trying to figure out, well, how far do I have to go? No, man, I want to get as close to God as I possibly can. I don't want to compromise. I don't want to end up somewhere where I ought not end up. Amen. People that get sideways in church. Begin to talk. And they always go for the weak ones in the church. To try to get them on board with them and on their side. By the way, this one, I'll probably lose everybody on this one, but there's probably more people that compromise in who they hang out with in their own living room than they do anywhere else. What do you mean? I'm talking about what you watch on television. Amen. Oh, man, I can't stand them. Homosexuals, I can't stand those transgender. I can't stand that. Then we sit down and flip the TV on and watch things that are just filled with it.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
Good, amen. Amen. Old Brother Ron Garris. Anybody remember Ron Garris, Rock of Ages Prison Ministry? Old Brother Ron Garris used to say, "Nod your little heads." You know it's the truth. Amen. Well, what was the end result after all this? Look down, if you would, in verse number 69. Now, Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But Peter denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." Well, wait a minute, Peter. Wait, what'd you say back there, Peter? "I will never, never deny you." It goes on and says, and When he was gone out in the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, notice, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. You understand what he's saying there? I swear to God, I do not know the man. That's the oath that he was taking. How in the world could Peter get there? Then he goes on, this one really gets me. After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Are you kidding me? Peter, we're at verse number 74. At verse number 33 is when he said that he would never do this in verse number 35. 40 verses of scripture. How in the world could it go that way that fast? Because there were some things happening in his life that were leading him down this pathway. He began to take the Lord for granted. He began to get lifted up in pride. He got lazy and apathetic toward God. Hey, things didn't go just the way that he thought they should. So he began to follow afar off. Then he began to compromise with other people. Yes, sir. So he got to the place where he didn't even want to acknowledge that he knew him. And it says here, Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. That's the end result of ending up in a place you never thought you'd be. Over in Luke chapter 22, I just want to read a verse to you here. It's the same story, same passage in the Gospel of Luke. But it says this at the very end. And it says in verse 61, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. You know what that tells me? He was in eyeshot of the Savior the entire time all this happened. We say, how? That is crazy. How could somebody do that? Hold on a minute. We're within eyeshot of the Savior all the time. He sees everything we're doing. How can we possibly? I'm going to share a story with you. I'm done. Just over a year ago, we received a phone call from a church that we were involved in for a while. And that phone call, they told us that a young man who was really, really close to us, who, Brother AJ, he helped me run camps. I've been running camps. I know I'm an old man, but I've been running youth camps every year in the 30 years that I've been in the ministry. He would help me to run them. He would be my sidekick. He was in the church that we were in for a while there, and he would do things for us at home. If we were on the road or something, we had to ask him to do something. He'd go to the house and do it, take care of it. Humble young man, just a good, good kid. Went to the Christian school, served God faithfully, did. He graduated, stayed there at home with his parents and everything. But started getting a little bit sideways. And for him, it was really a shock because he's so humble and such a good kid and everything. And he started communicating and fellowshipping with some people that got disgruntled and left the church. He started hanging out with some of these people again. He ended up doing something and got himself into trouble. And because he was so far away from the Lord, I believe this with all my heart, because he was so far away from the Lord, they called to tell us that this 19-year-old young man ended his life. How could it get that desperate? And right away, AJ, man, we started crying, me and my wife. We love that boy, man. His name was Daniel. Such a super kid. He was like my own son. How in the world could you get to that place? When you begin separating yourself away from the Lord, you're heading down a very dangerous pathway. When you get hanging around people you shouldn't be hanging around, you begin to do those things that it's a dangerous place to be. Never say never. There's not a one of us in this room that's any better than anybody that's ever gone through something like that. That's why we ought to stay on our face before God every day of our lives. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here at this good church and to spend the evening with them. And Lord, I pray that you'd take the simple thought, Lord, that I've tried to present and challenge each and every one of our hearts, Lord, that we would look at our life and do a checkup on where we really are, Father. And Father, is there any of those things, or are any of those points being highlighted in our life right now? Is there something that maybe we're doing that we shouldn't be doing? Are we following afar off from you? Are we not in your book the way that we should? Are we not walking with you? Are we getting lazy on you? Are we getting lifted up in pride or taking you for granted or whatever it is? Are we compromising with this old world or compromising with lost and with that non-denominational group? Father, whatever it is, I pray that you'd help us to come running to an old-fashioned altar and get that right tonight. God, help us to get back into close communion and fellowship with you, that we would never end up in that place where never ends up becoming a reality in our life.